Well, Representative Parker Fairbairn is with us, and good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, you know what? It's kind of sunny in Escanaba right now. It's not snowing. 50 degrees. I can't complain. How about you?
A beautiful fall day. You know, I love Escanaba. It's always good. I was up at the UP State Fair earlier this year, and boy, that is a good fair.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we have some things to talk about that are not so pleasant, and one of them is the situation with FEMA. And I know you're on the state level. There's not much you can do about it. I mean, even the governor appealed the FEMA decision. But if you could describe for the people on this end of the UP, Parker, what this situation means for the people on your end of the UP and northern lower, where utility bills are going to go up.
Yep. I mean, it's when you look at it, FEMA, we kind of saw this coming down the pike, but they declined for individual assistance and then category F for public assistance. And what that will look like for some folks in the service areas, when you look at PIE&G, which is northeastern lower peninsula, and then we have, of course, Cloverland, and then we have Great Lakes Energy. The two that were impacted the most by this were Great Lakes Energy and PIE&G. And people are seeing increased service bills every month, and that's something we really, you know, don't want to see. And really, that there's a solution for this. And I've got a House bill that's sitting in the Senate right now. We passed it out of the House with nearly unanimous support that would offer $100 million, and part of that is individual assistance. Individuals would be able to apply and get some sort of reimbursement for some of these major expenses and major issues that happened during the ice storm, whether it was trees falling on your garage and insurance didn't cover it, general tree cleanup on your property. Those are the people we want to help.
So what's the status, Representative? I mean, obviously the UP delegation will support you. That's already been told by Mr. McBroom and others. The governor seems to be on board too. So what gives?
You know, I think there's some politics being played over in the Senate. I think if this ice storm would have happened downstate in the Detroit area or Grand Rapids, they would have already got the money, and people would start feeling relief from this. But you look at the economic impact that we had from the ice storm in northern Michigan in the eastern upper peninsula. It was drastic, and some of our trails on our state lands are still closed down, hundreds of miles of trails actually. State parks were closed. That's people who aren't coming up and utilizing and spending money in our economy. So we saw an impact over the summer and during the heavy tourist season that we have, but we're really hoping that if we can get some of this, you know, $100 million, we're going to start to see a corrective measures being taken, and hopefully you know, Michiganders are going to get the relief they need. That's what we're trying to do.
So I was there in Gaylord literally with the Escanaba baseball team when the tornado hit, right? So I mean, that devastation was taken care of, so why not this one, just because it was ice?
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that. It's so interesting. You know, the tornado affected a very small area in terms of geography. When the ice storm hit, I mean, it's 12 counties. 12 whole counties got, frankly, wiped out for 2 weeks. I was without power for over 10 days. When the ice storm happened. And I know a lot of people who were out with power for a lot longer than that. And you look at that, people weren't able to go to work. There's an economic impact there.
Well, your food goes to waste, right? Your food goes to waste. Yeah, right?
Yep. So a lot of really bad things. And we're trying to take corrective measures here. This $100 million, in the grand scheme of things and the total amount of damage, there's probably over $400 million in economic and natural damage in from the ice storm. The 100 million would help folks. It's not going to cover everything, but it would be a step in the right direction, and it's really not controversial. I think, the governor supports it. I wish she'd be a little more vocal in her support in getting the Senate to move on this. We've been very vocal over on the House side, me and my northern colleagues and my UP delegation. We've got a great UP delegation right now. I mean, the UP's never been all red in the last 70 years, and we've got it all red right now. And the four state reps we have, I mean, we go charging into fights together. We stick by each other's side really closely.
Well, and Senator DeMoose, he's not a newbie. I mean, no offense to you, I'm not trying to say that at all, but he's been there, done that. He has some political capital, doesn't he?
I believe so, but we're, they're in the minority over there in the Senate, and there's no doubt about that. It puts them in a tough position, but I've been having conversations with Senate leadership over there, the Senate Appropriations Chair, who's a Democrat. We're trying to get movement from them on this, and we're really hoping by the end of the year we will see movement on this topic.
Yeah, let's hope an ice storm doesn't hit suburban Detroit anytime soon. And I will say that, not you. Last question on this topic, because I want to ask you about your fleeing and eluding bill, Representative. Where do you see this going? I know FEMA's word is kind of, that's the way it is, right? They're not going to change their minds. So what do you see happening on the state level then?
I think in terms of FEMA and the federal dollars, I think the 50 million that they gave us for public assistance is all we're going to see. The state came in and did 10 million as a match for that public assistance, so we're still not seeing any individual assistance, and that's where House Bill 4328 will come in and help, backfill and course correct some of the stuff that's happened.
So last question, Representative, is you have not to do with this horrible situation with the ice storm, but tell me about the fleeing and looting bill that you've put through that you put up for debate. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yep. So I had the opportunity to co-sponsor this bill, and really we wanted to ratchet up and ramp up the penalties for individuals who flee and elude, when the police or law enforcement are trying to pull you over. There's an example actually in Charlevoix County. It happened in Benzie County actually, but my Charlevoix High School golf team had a very traumatic incident happen where their van was struck by someone who was fleeing and eluding the police, and there was a high-speed chase happening with law enforcement, and unfortunately, the individual crashed into our Charlevoix golf team. There was a lot of injuries, a lot of people still recovering, and we feel for them. But the individual passed away. We want to prevent that from happening. We do not want people taking off from law enforcement and really causing bad situations and bad scenarios. So we wanted to ramp up the penalties for that and make it so bad for people to do that that they'll think twice about fleeing and eluding.
Yeah, what would your bill do?
It ramps up the each of the degree first through fourth degree felonies, and it's as that ramps up, the penalties, the mandatory minimum sentencing is a lot more strict. For example, the fourth degree would be 30 days in jail. That fourth degree that used to never happen. So we've ramped it up where you're going to get a mandatory minimum sentencing, and our hope is that's going to deter people from wanting to do this action.
Last question for you, Representative, is your thoughts on, you mentioned briefly the UP delegation, and I know you only cover a small sliver of the UP, with redistricting and whatnot. But do you feel like you're part of the UP delegation? I mean, what's the camaraderie with the other other reps and our other senators?
I will say, Senator McBroom, Greg Markkinen, Carl Bonack, and Dave Preston, they have been just wonderful. I do feel like I'm part of the UP delegation. We have a lot of nice conversations at night down here in Lansing together. We've got plans to tour each other's districts and different things in each other's district. I will say the UP caucus is very, very strong right now, and it's I'm blessed to be able to be a part of it. I mean, we all want what's best for the Upper Peninsula. I think that's the one thing that unites us all, is we want what's best for the Upper Peninsula, no ifs, ands, or buts.